There is no place I'd rather be than in His presence. Thank you for joining us today for our weekly devotional thought. And now, our host, Essie Johnson.
Welcome to In His Presence. We thank you so very much for joining with us on today. Today, our scripture passage comes from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 7 and verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We are also going to take a look at the Good News Translation. All these promises are made to us, my dear friends. So then, let us purify ourselves from everything that makes body or soul unclean. And let us be completely holy by living in awe of God. It's in our songs and in our prayers. We ask the Lord, Lord, please clean us, purify us. Lord, keep us from the evil. Dear Lord, let us draw nigh to that which is good. Let us draw nigh to you. And it sounds beautiful, but the apostle points out something to us today that we must all consider. It is a truth that we instinctively know in our heart. There is a work to be done in our lives that God expects us to do. This may certainly sound a little jarring to some, because while we absolutely believe in total dependency on the Lord, as the apostle points out in today's lesson, there are some particular things that the Lord expects us to do. Just as a parent instructs their young child to go and clean themselves up after they played in the dirt or mud, God too gives direction to us. There are certainly wounds that He cleanses and dresses so compassionately on our bodies and in our lives, in our emotional life. There are those things that will be addressed directly by the Savior. But our Lord expects us to come to Him and heed the words of cleansing that we ourselves must do. We must be purified, but we must also, in some matters, purify ourselves. The fact is, our sinful nature is a direct result of our humanity and our relationship to Adam. It is something over which we have no control. And the Lord Himself has dealt with this heritage of a sinful nature, this sin in the bloodline, by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus came into this world and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, because He came to give us the choice to break with our sinful nature and draw back to God, a God who loves us, because of His sacrifice. Sin, you see, is unacceptable to God, and Jesus had to come and break sin's hold on our lives. Not only was there a hold on our everyday life, there was a hold on our destiny. For as long as we are prisoner to sin, we cannot fully experience the success that God has for us in this life. Sin compromises our purpose and destiny. Not only that, sin compromises our eternity. So there is a choice that we must make. We must choose to cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh. We must choose to separate ourselves from people, places, behaviors, sources of entertainment that are destructive to our spiritual development. There is work to be done that is totally within our control. Christ has already taken care of the other matter. We have to decide to do our part in this process. I have been listening to an instructor talk recently about the necessity of making good choices, choices that are positive. And he loves to point out that people who are successful are willing to do things that people who are unsuccessful are not willing to do. They're willing to go the extra mile. They're willing to work the long hours. They are willing to do whatever is necessary to build success in their business and in their personal lives. The decision to live holy is first and foremost a decision. Oh, yes. A person decides in their mind and heart that they want to live holy. We either read the word or hear it read as we did today, and we are forced to consider the words of the text. What will I do? How will I choose to live? Despite the best arguments we might make on our own behalf, we still have to make a decision. Many of us would like to say, well, these words were written long ago by people whose lives are very different from ours. They don't know what we are going through. I submit to you that temptation has always been real, that trials have always been a part of the experience of living in this world. And while their situation may have been different, their lives may have been different, the necessity of choosing to live for Christ has not changed. The Lord knows my situation, you might say, and understands that in my workplace, I have to go along to get along. Another might offer that the Lord invented sex. He put this nature in me. The truth is, I am only human. Perhaps my own personal favorite is the simple, you know, God understands. This, in fact, the argument that God understands may be the most sympathetic, but in fact is the weakest. The Lord knows. Jesus Christ came to this world and he lived in this flesh where we now live. The problem is he does know what we're going through. He does know how temptation feels, for he was tempted on all counts. The Lord knows, as he even suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane, that it is not easy, but some things are just necessary. If we are going to please God, deliverance is available if we cry out to God, if we pray and seek him, if we stand firm in the values, principles, and godly teachings that we already know. Just as that young child must take off the dirty clothes, put them aside, we too must put aside that which we can set aside. We must choose holiness, practice it in our language and even in our thought life. We cannot simply pour a little water over the garment or even over our skin and hope that no one notices how dirty we really are. No, that garment, those ungodly behaviors must be set aside. We then have to allow the word to wash us. Follow peace with all men. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Sometimes it is so easy to forget that what we constantly feed our minds will dwell in our minds and will even spring forth in the middle of the night when we awake for no obvious reason. Think on good things. Reflect on the beauty that God has placed on this earth. We must not allow our spirit to be overrun with anger, resentment, revenge, but rather we should ask God to give us a kind and a gentle spirit, a heart of love. The scripture is so true. Meditate on the word of the Lord. Meditate on that which is encouraging and positive, and we will find our spirit at peace, even in the midst of a storm around us, if instead we feed our minds on negativity and worry. There's little room for God or for the comfort that He is waiting to bring to us. For remember, He is there for us. We thank God that every day He is here for us to meet our needs. And we ask that He will help us to purify ourselves, even as He purifies us. Let's pray. Lord, we cleanse ourselves of those things over which we have control. And we ask, dear Lord, that You sanctify us wholly in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed and beautiful week, and join us again next time in His presence.
Please share your comments on this broadcast at InHisPresence@nonelikehimanywhere.org.